It's our pleasure, our privilege to have John Cutlip share with us. John is with Open Air Campaigners. John, come on up. How long have you been with Open Air Campaigners?
Since 1980.
And we've supported you since then.
Pardon me?
We've been supporting you ever since 1980.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I found out about this church when I graduated from Moody Bible Institute. Dr. Sweetie, and I was going across the podium, he said, "I hear you moving to New Jersey." He said, "I got a good church for you to go to." And been here ever since.
And George obviously said my brother was
there. He did mention that, yes.
He did mention it. Now, I asked the Tatlows what time it is where they serve. What time is it where you serve?
Hey, we're on the same time zone.
Oh, man.
Easy. You know, easy is good.
So, Lord bless you. We're glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Very good. Okay. What was the mission of Jesus, and how do we play into that mission, or what part do we have with that mission? We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 38. So while you're turning to chapter 9 of Matthew, I just give you a quick background on the previous five chapters of this section of Scripture. And Jesus has been ministering. He's been going all over the place. He's been going everywhere. It's been a brutal ministry for him, very intense. He's been teaching people, healed people. He raised the dead. He met needs, emotional, spiritual, physical. It was just physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhaustive. Isn't ministry exhausting? I mean, I know you folks here in our Hydewood family, you minister all the time, and you minister in different ways. And it's exhausting work. It can be exhausting physically, spiritually, mentally, all kinds of ways. It can just really drain you. It really can. And so Jesus was doing this. And he was doing it everywhere. The stats are not good for long-term for many workers in the Christian realm and compared to others. It depends on how you compare the stats. You got to be careful about statistics because you can make them mean anything you want. But we praise the Lord for our pastor at our church. In fact, he was here a few years ago and married Stephanie and Chris right up here on the stage. And we had like a combination service here. And our pastor's been with us for over 30 years, and over he's been through three building programs. And statistically, according to Barna research, statistically, one building project can wipe a pastor out. I mean, it's really kind of intense, you know. I mean, you get into all kinds of interesting discussions. What color should the carpet be? What color should the curtains be? And it can be really intense stuff. Our pastor's been through three of those, and he's still with us. So I really appreciate the long-term commitment that our pastor has demonstrated at our church. And Jesus was, he stuck to it, through the good times and through the bad times. And that's one thing we just need to remember, and I have to remind myself all the time, when the going is easy, when the going is rough, when the going is in the middle of there sometimes, just hang in there. Just hang on, keep on keeping on. My dad was a coal miner down in West Virginia, and he knew about hard work. He knew about hard physical work. My brother-in-law, for many years, was a blacksmith in Oklahoma. And that's hard, demanding physical work. But as hard as that is, it really pales in comparison to the physical, emotional, and spiritual work, many times, of Christian ministry. Because you're right out there on the front lines. Ministry has an additional dimension to it than the physical, like I mentioned, the spiritual and the emotional component of it. And dealing with people can be really, really difficult. I don't know if you've discovered this yet, but there's a statement made by pastors and church leaders and missionaries sometimes, particularly after going through a difficult season. And it goes like something like this. The ministry would be great if it weren't for the people. Right? So, and it would. I mean, the ministry would be great if it's just you. And sometimes, you know, you make fun and you say, well, you know, you and I are the only ones that really have it all together. Sometimes I have my doubts about you. So sometimes it can just be really, really challenging. But by chapter 9, Jesus is ministering single-handedly up to that time. He's pretty much just doing it alone. And he's had people, you know, tagging along and being with him and stuff. And he's starting to develop his discipleship team. But he's been basically doing this ministry pretty much all alone. And then we pick up with that thought in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 through 38. And it says, Jesus was going about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So we see here Jesus went everywhere, big towns, little towns. I appreciate that about the ministry of many of the missionaries that I know about, many of the missionaries that are supported here at Hydewood. And the ministry that I'm involved in with Open Air Campaigners, we're in over 30 countries, and we're in 10 cities here in the U.S. And big cities, little cities. We have a fellow out in Wyoming. He works with the Arapaho and the Shoshone Indians on the reservation out there. And he has these little pockets, these little groups of people around, and he's able to minister. Ah, look at this. I like that. Let me pull this out of my pocket. We'll get up to speed here. You're going to have to do it? Okay. Very, very good. Well, flip through there, and we're going to find the one on Wyoming. There's a guy out there in front of a truck. That's my pastor, Pastor Bird, 30-plus years. There's my dad on the left. And wait, stop at that picture. Just to prove to you, I used to have hair. There it is. I'm right in the middle there. Okay, keep going. Next one, there's the quote about getting along with people. Yeah, kind of tough sometimes. Next one talks about, here we are. We're with Kurt. And Kurt works with the Arapaho and Shoshone out there, and he gets these little pockets, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, where you wouldn't think there are no people. And somehow, God has given him the ability to just do little small group meetings. And a lot of times, it's one-on-one. He does prison ministry also, nursing home outreach, and he just goes wherever he can. In fact, the motto of Open Air Campaigners is presenting Christ by all means, everywhere. So that's pretty broad. But that's what we do. We go anywhere, everywhere. That's what Jesus did. He went anywhere, everywhere, all times, in season, out of season, and we try to pattern our ministry after that. Okay? Then the next slide there, we see a fellow here. His name is Eric. Eric Briscoe is in our Boston branch, and there are a few more people in Boston than there are out in Riverton, Wyoming. And here we do college campus ministry, and there are several of our staff that love to go on the college campus and minister to these folks. And here he is, I think he's visiting our Michigan branch at this point, and he's sharing the gospel out there. We have a fellow in Michigan. He just graduated from Moody with his master's degree in apologetics, and he loves to go on the college campus. And he loves to go in there and just share with the kids there. And he is able to have a great, great ministry. There was one time, one of the professors came through while we were at one of the University of Boston, and Eric was preaching on the sketchboard. You can see there we use the visuals. And he sets up the sketchboard. The people gather around, and we do like a chalk talk kind of thing, illustrating the gospel. And then we transition from the physical illustration of some kind and transition over into the spiritual. So Eric was doing that, and one of the professors came through, one of the professors of comparative religions on campus, and he said, excuse me, he got Eric aside after the meeting, and he said, I've noticed you've been doing this here for quite a while, and although I don't agree with you on your content, you do this decently in order. Would you be willing to come into my classroom someday and do a lecture during my comparative religions class? And Eric didn't have to think too long about that one. He said, sure, I'll be in there. So the next slide here, we show Eric in the professor's class there. And sure enough, he's sharing the gospel there. And that next slide will show him in the classroom. And just these opportunities that we're able to take advantage of. So when Jesus was there in the open air, he did a number of things, including, number one, he taught. So when he was teaching, he was pretty much sharing with people how they could welcome in these new ideas. Now, welcoming in the new is kind of like, I like to think of it, I love these shows. I think one is called I Hate My Kitchen. The other is the Property Brothers. You ever watch those guys? I love to watch those guys. They go into these houses and these people, they're not happy with their kitchen or their dining room or whatever it is, or maybe their whole house. They want to get a whole new thing. And they go in and they look it over and they say, yep, we got a better idea. And they come up with these blueprints. They blow out the walls. They do all kinds of stuff. And they come up with a better idea, out with the old and with the new, right? Well, that's what Jesus did spiritually. He went in, he assessed the situation, and he says, you know what? We can do better spiritually. Here's what God has in store for you. He's got a life for you that's far beyond anything you could think or imagine or on your own just come up with. And so that's what Jesus did. He taught, and he encouraged people to welcome in this new information. But this work is dirty. It's messy. It's sweaty. But when it's done, when they have their new kitchen area, it's worth it. It's worth the cost, the time, and the effort. My third floor in my home, I have a third floor attic area, and I've been camped up there for 20-some years, and that's been my office. Recently, though, I think I said, you know what? I think I have a better idea. There is a building out on the back of my property, and I said, we're going to transform this building, and we're going to move from the third floor back down to the ground level. And my coworker, Mike, says, that will be a good thing. He's tired of climbing those three flights of stairs up to the office every day. Although it's good exercise. It's good aerobics. So that's what we did. We sat down. We designed it. We came up with a plan. And it was a lot of work, but we're in our new facility now. We're in our new office. And to us, it's wonderful. And you know what? When Jesus comes in and he evaluates and he looks at each room in our hearts and our lives, there are some rooms we want to keep to ourselves, aren't there? And this is what we share with folks in the open air. A lot of people think they're pretty much doing okay. They think, well, I'm going to church, giving money to the poor, helping out every now and then. I think that pretty much will get me into heaven. But we share with them from the scriptures how that, well, if you know the Son and you have the Son, you have life. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. So all of our righteousness, really in God's sight, is filthy rags. There's a better way. There's a better idea. God says, it's only through me that you can obtain forgiveness of sin. And although it's good to go to church, it's good to give money to the poor, that's not what takes away our sins. Only the blood of Christ can take away our sins. In fact, the Bible says that God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ came and he died for us. And if we confess our sins, then he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So to some folks, that's a new idea. And Jesus is out there sharing that with folks and teaching so that they can welcome in these new ideas. And you know what? It's the Holy Spirit that does that, isn't it? Sometimes we think, well, you know, if my sales pitch is just right or if I say just the right things, but there is no magic formula. You guys know that. There's no magic formula. It's through God's power. It's through his Spirit, and we don't save anyone. Our hermeneutics as we study and our apologetics as we share can be stellar, but if we don't have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God is not working in the hearts of people, it's not going to work because it's only from God that any of these things will work. And that's what Jesus did when he went out to teach. One pastor put it this way. God gave us the Bible to transform us, not simply inform us. It should give us a bigger heart, not a bigger head. And there are folks around who are very intelligent, these professors on college campus and so forth, but sometimes you can be educated beyond your intelligence. You really can. And they're very smart, but they're foolish people. In fact, the Bible tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so there's a lot of foolish people around. But we want to be wise. And God gives us wisdom, and wisdom comes from God. Now, you can have intelligence, and you can have all the information, but wisdom, God's wisdom, is really just the correct application of the knowledge that you have. So you can have all kinds of knowledge. In fact, I always share with the kids as I'm doing these science things that the word science means knowledge, means learning. So when you have knowledge, you have power. And when you have power, people can't fool you. You don't want to be fooled. So when you have knowledge of God's word, that gives you power. When you learn, you study to show yourself approved as a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed of any of this, then that gives you power. And people can't fool you. Don't get caught up in cults and this and that. And it's a powerful thing. So that's all involved in what Jesus did when he was out teaching there. And he taught not to just disseminate information and give knowledge, although that's part of it, but he did that so that we could put this knowledge to use, to good application. And the scriptures say that too. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's good to get the knowledge, but then we need to put it into action. And that's what we saw Jesus doing all the time as he taught. He just put it into action and he went out there. When we do our training seminars, every year Open Air Campaigners puts on a one-week training seminar, and we teach people how to set up the sketch board and how to share the gospel using object lessons and different things as just kind of a way to gather the attention, and then we use them. And Jesus did the same thing. He used the woman at the well. He used the illustration of water, so forth. So he would just use common, ordinary things, and then he would transition from the physical over into the spiritual. And so that's what we've been happy to do. And at these seminars that we do, 1 week in Boston and the second week in June is usually down in the Baltimore, D.C. area. And we share with people lecture. We give them the knowledge, how the meetings are supposed to be done. And then in the afternoons, we actually go out and do meetings. And then they see, wow, it really is done, all right? And then we come back and we troubleshoot and we debrief and we talk about it. So we like to combine the theory with the practical use, where the rubber meets the road. And that's what Jesus did. He taught what his Father wanted, but he demonstrated it to us. As I said earlier, God demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So Eric was able to go into these college campus areas and teach. But not only did Jesus teach, but his ministry also included proclaiming. So he proclaimed, and we could subtitle that transforming the old. So you get and welcome the new, and then as these things are proclaimed, Jesus was involved in transforming the old. And how did he proclaim? Or what did he proclaim? Well, he proclaimed the good news of salvation from our sins. So it's announcing. Proclaiming is like an announcement, announcing with the aim to persuade. But we don't do the persuading. That's the nice thing about it. We give the information out, but God is the one that persuades, that convicts, that convinces people of sin and their need for him. And there are some people that are ready, what we call ripe for the harvest. There are other people that are not quite ready. I remember when Michael Crandall shared with me. I was 18 years old, working in a local grocery store in Northeast Ohio. Michael was 17 years old. So I always tell the teenagers and young people, don't be afraid to share your faith. There are people that don't want to hear it, for sure, but there are a lot of people just waiting to hear. And I was waiting for someone to tell me, and I didn't even know it. So Michael started talking to me about God and how we could have a relationship with God. This was all news to me. I'd gone to church all my life, but I didn't know that you could have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. It was amazing, and I was ready, but not right away. He shared with me day after day, and he would answer my questions, and it was wonderful, the way that God used Michael in my life. He didn't ram the Bible down my throat. He didn't buttonhole me. He didn't put a lot of pressure on me. He was just there. He shared. He announced the good news, and then he proclaimed it. And proclaiming is just, announcing with the intent to persuade. But it's God that does the persuading. Boy, that can take a lot of pressure off of you. So as you're out there sharing with people, just, shoot those little missile prayers up. God, you work on their hearts. Give me the words to say. Give me the very thoughts to say. And so Michael shared with me, and I remember one of his buddies coming into the store one time, and he said, John, I know Michael's been witnessing to you. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior yet? And I said, nope, but I'm on the way. And I knew it in my head. I knew all this stuff, and I had it down, but I'm one of the, I like to think it through. And it was a matter of the heart. It isn't a matter of the head. And you can have all kinds of knowledge and be very foolish. You can have all kinds of knowledge about the Bible and be very lost. We used to have teams of Word of Life students come down when we were living here in the Plainfield area, and I think Sam Fry still does it. Sam gets these students, he'll take them to New York City or Philadelphia, and we used to train them at the deaconry over there, the fellowship deaconry, and we would have them for a few days, and these students, we'd train them, we'd go out into the city, we'd do some meetings, we'd come back, we'd have some training classes with them, and it was just a practical way for them to learn to share their faith. And on more than one occasion, there were students at Word of Life Bible Institute that had all this head knowledge, But they weren't Christians. They grew up in a Christian home. They knew all the right words to say. They knew what they were supposed to do. But they haven't accepted Christ into their hearts, into their lives, to transform them, to change them over. And so we experienced that on more than one occasion, these Word of Life students coming down, participating in our open air meetings, and actually trusting Christ as their Savior in these meetings that we're doing. It's amazing. It's pretty cool. So proclaiming is that idea, and that's what Jesus did. Proclaiming, transforming the old, making all things new. And that's exactly what happened when Michael shared with me. It opened a new door. And the welcome mat is there. That's the whole idea of, you know, we're sharing with folks, here's the door, you're welcome. We're not going to shove you through. We're not going to pull you through. We want you to be there. We want you to be in heaven. We want you to know forgiveness of sins. We want you to know what a relationship with God can be like. It's wonderful. And ever since that day when I was 18 years old, I've actually never gotten over it. I'm 61 years old now. And I can honestly say there have been good days, there have been bad days, there have been up days, there have been down days, but my relationship with Christ has been secure all these years. And he, from the moment I trusted him as my Savior, he gave me that assurance, and that's just something the world cannot give. And that was as a result of that proclamation that Michael gave me. So that's what Jesus did. He proclaimed. So as we go and we proclaim, it takes the pressure off. So you can be sitting under a tree with a couple kids, and you can share with them what Christ has done in your life and what he offers to them, even at a young age. You don't have to be a certain age. You can be young, you can be old. We were at Bible Club. I got a call a couple weeks ago from the local CEF director in our area, and he said, John, can you help us out in the Palmer School in Easton? We need some extra help there this week. I said, sure, I'll come. So this past Thursday was our second week there, and I had the lesson, went through the lesson, and afterwards one of the girls, 11, 12 years old, she pulled me aside and she said, is it really that easy? So she said. So I said, yeah, it's really that easy. So it's amazing. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. And these professors who have all the knowledge, it's good for them too. So see, it's good for children, it's good for, and it's not the head knowledge that you need, it's the heart knowledge that God uses through the head knowledge that he will give you. So God does that. And it frees us to pressure. So God taught through Jesus while he was here. God proclaimed through Jesus while he was here. He can do the same for us. But thirdly, he taught and he healed. And we call this, or I call this, serving at all times. And healing is the concept. It's much more than physical healing. Of course, he healed the sick. We read that. It's amazing. It's good. It's a blessing. The concept of being healed, or that actual word healed, is from the Greek word therapeo, where we get therapy from. So therapy is like restoring the original or restoring the old. You ever gone through therapy? You know, have physical therapy or whatever? It can be really painful. I mean, I don't know. I've never been through it. But that's what I hear. My mom had a physical therapist come in. I think it was last year. She's 99 now, lives at home with us. I'm her primary caregiver. That's why I got a shuttle when I'm done here and get back. Sue's holding down the fort. But we can't be gone too long. And mom had some physical therapist come in that was assigned to her. And it wasn't an easy thing to go through. She wanted to keep her muscle tone up and everything, and she was having some trouble walking. And the physical therapist was trying to restore some of her motor functions. And so they went through all the things that they do. And it wasn't like a pleasant thing to go through. But when they were done, she was much better. And so coming to Christ, sometimes it can be painful for people. Sometimes it can just be difficult. Sometimes people think, but the lifestyle I have, my friends, I might lose my friends. I might lose my job. Well, that's true. You might or you might not. Don't know. The point is, you need to do what God wants you to do. And he will go through it with you. He hasn't promised us a bed of roses, but he's promised us what you go through and the hard times that you do go through. And he actually has promised us that there will be tough times. That's kind of like a promise. There will be tough times. It can be a sacrifice. It can be very hard. It can be challenging. But he will be there, and he will meet us where we are. Now, we're all different. We're all wired differently. The ministries that we do are all different. you know, when you're teaching, proclaiming, healing, you know, trying to restore the old in that way. You can do it in so many different ways. Open air is not the only way to do it. It's one way to do it. It's one tool of evangelism. But there are just tons of ways that God can use you in the way that he's wired you, with your personality, with your context, with your networking, with part-time, full-time, whatever, vocationally, as you have time. God can use you wherever you're planted. Just ask him, God, just use me. I don't have the answer to everyone's questions, and you won't. I mean, there's no way that we can know everything in here. I mean, if you knew every single thing in the Bible, you would be God. We're not God, right? So we don't worry that you have to know every single thing. And be honest with people. If someone asks you a question, people can tell you if you're faking. I mean, we work in the inner city a lot, and these little kids, they size you up in 2 minutes, and they know where you're coming from. It's amazing. They know if you're there because you want to be there, or if you're there because you have to be there and you're ticking off a sheet and you got to do so many meetings a day. They can sense that. I mean, they can just tell it from you. So through God's word, God will give you what you need to know when you need to know it. He's done that so many times through my personal experience. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I remember that verse now. And he just brought it back to memory. He brought it back to mind. So we do need to study. I'm not saying, you know, we don't have to study. We do have to study to show ourselves approved. But then God will bring back those things that we've planted in our heart and that he has watered and that he cultivates in there. So that can bring healing to people, restoring the old. You know, in our original condition, the way God made us, we're pretty good, Adam and Eve. God made Adam and Eve pretty good. They decided to go off and do their own thing. A lot of times people say, well, if Adam and Eve sinned, didn't God create sin then? No. Sin is simply the absence of good. And so if you decide to do something that's not God's way, that's your own choosing. God allows us to do that because he wants us with our own will. We have a will to serve him as we want to serve him. And with his help, he will heal us from those old thoughts, from those old ways of wanting to do things, if we'll allow him, and restore us to the condition that we can have with him, whether that's physical, mental, spiritual, or even emotional. And Jesus did that. He was around. He was just serving. It's the whole concept of serving, this healing thing, and serving. You know, Jesus went around, are you sick? I can fix that. I can help you there. Are you hungry? I can help you. Are you lonely? I can meet that need. Are you needing a closer relationship with the God of the universe? We can help you. We got you covered there. And we can do the same thing. Isn't that? We have the resources. And we don't have to. All we have to do is tap into that resource. Confessing our sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we're tapped into God and we're tapped into what he wants us to do, then he does those things. He frees us up to minister. And he gives us even the compassion. A lot of times it's not easy to have compassion. Compassion comes from God. And people are not easy to love sometimes. They're hard to get along with. We are hard to get along with. I put myself in that category too. I'm not always, you know, ask my wife or any of my three kids. They'll tell you, I'm not perfect. I have my days too. So we're not perfect. But God will give you that compassion, that ability to work with people. And this should call us to action. So the question is, are we responding to this action? Do we want to help? If not, just ask God to give you that desire to help out, to teach, to proclaim, to heal, to help restore people to the relationship that God wants them to have with him. No matter what your current level of commitment, he can take it from here. It's kind of compared to the harvest. And at this point, remember, Jesus is ministering pretty much on his own, but it's to the point now, the crowds are pressing in, ministry is expanding, and he asks for help. He's calling for help. He wants us to help. He says there are people ready for harvest. He's putting out the help wanted sign, and he's asking us to help, and he will use us. There's nothing that we can do on our own, but with his help, his assistance, his power, he can unleash that in our lives, and we really, really can minister effectively in his power and in his name. So he compares this to a harvest, this need to go out, this help that's needed. And there are some people that are ripe. They are ready for harvest. And there are some people that have been ready a long time. There are some people that are not ready. You know, if you try to pick fruit and it's not ready, it's a little stubborn. You can tell. You can tell by talking to people if they're ready or not. I love it when the Jehovah's Witnesses come around to my home. They don't come around so much anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm too excited about it. But I love it when they come. I invite them in. I say, you know, I give them time to do their little talk. And I say, now it's my time to give you my little talk. And I set them down and we agree going in. You do yours, I'll do mine with you. I share with them. And I share, I don't attack them. I share with them how I admire their sincerity to study the scriptures. And they do study the scriptures, by the way. Just the interpretation that the Bible Watchtower and Tract Society has put on those, and I will not accept any of their literature. I say, let's stick with the Bible. Let's just stay with God's word, the Bible. We can both agree on that. I admire your sincerity and your ability to study the word of God, and I encourage you, and I always say this as we leave, I encourage you, listen to what the Bible says. Not an organization, not man, not the Bible Watchtower and Tract Society, but God's word, the Bible. And I always ask if we can have a word of prayer. They won't do that. Sometimes you just pray, you know, and ask God to convince, convict them, because it's all his work anyway. But this is all part of, you know, there's harvest there, and there have been people. We have a local committee man in the Boston area. He and his wife studied with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and he was set free from that. And I tell you, you get some of these folks that have been in bondage like that with some of the cults and some of these places. Christ restores them. He frees them from all that. They're the hardest workers in the church because they appreciate what they've been set free from. It's a heavy burden. I mean, you talk to Mormons, and we have a big Mormon population in the Nazareth area out where I am, believe it or not. We have a temple and everything. And it's a to-do religion. I mean, they have to do so. They're never sure. You're never sure if you're good enough. It's just a list of things you've got to do, and you're never, ever sure. But with Christ, we can be sure. It's been done. It's been paid for. The work that he has done on the cross, when he was there, he said, "It is finished." And that's a great encouragement to us, so we can share that with folks. So Jesus was all about welcoming the new, but transforming the old as well. He was all about serving, and so let that be our goal too. If you're already there, you're serving, you're doing, you feel confident you're where God is, pray that God would keep you fresh and keep you on the edge, on the cutting edge, that we wouldn't get stuck in a rut. It is so easy to get stuck in a rut. You do the same thing. You know, you've been in the ministry for so many years. Just ask God to continue giving you that freshness, that crispness, that compassion for the people, because all of that comes from him. And as we spend time this weekend just listening to the reports of those who are out in the mission field vocationally and those right here in our own local congregation who are doing what God wants them to do here on our local scene, let's continue to pray for one another and love one another and ask God to just use his example while he was here of preaching, teaching, proclaiming, healing, serving, restoring folks to their original condition, wherever we may go, in season and out, presenting Christ by all means everywhere. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us, that you've released us from bondage of sin, that you've put within us a new spirit, a new way of talking, a new way of thinking. You've transformed us. Sometimes it can be painful. Sometimes it can be challenging. But Lord, we pray that you would just keep us fresh, keep us committed, keep us pure, keep us humble. And we commit the days ahead. And these are trying days for not only us here locally, but here in America and around the world. Very trying days in so many ways. But greater is he, that's you, who is in us than he who is in the world. And we thank you for your power to not only forgive sin, but release us for service to you in whatever capacity and whatever ways that you want to. And so we thankfully pray all these things in your name. Amen.